This is a recording for the Melanie Carpenter teleconference with iAdvise, Elementia, Thursday, February 23rd, 2017, scheduled for 10 a.m. Central Time. Good morning. My name is Chantel, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Elementia Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. There will be a question and answer session after the speaker's opening remarks, and instructions will be given at that time. Thank you. I will now turn the conference over to Patricia Cruz with iAdvise. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chantel. Good day, everyone, and welcome to Elementia's fourth quarter and year-end 2016 earnings conference call. This call is for investors and analysts only. Joining us today from Mexico City are Mr. Fernando Ruiz Jax, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Juan Francisco Sanchez Kramer, Chief Financial Officer and Interim Investor Relations Officer, and Mrs. Laura Cañas, Head of Strategic Planning. They will be discussing the company's recent transaction and performance as per the earnings release issued yesterday after the close. If you did not receive the report and need a copy of the release, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3692, and we will email you immediately. Or go to Elementia's website at www.elementia.com under the Investor Relations section. Let me remind you that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they are based on information that is currently available. Please refer to the earnings release for a more detailed and full disclaimer. Also, all figures discussed are in Mexican pesos unless otherwise stated. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Fernando Ruiz Jax, Chief Executive Officer of Elementia, to begin with the main highlights and a strategic overview. Fernando, please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Patty, and welcome, everyone. Thank you for being with us today to discuss Elementia's results for the year, as well as the progress achieved in our recent acquisition of Giant's 55% stake and our expectations for 2017. For Elementia, 2016 has certainly been a year of many achievements, not only in financial terms, but also in the implementation of the overall strategy, which we call the power of oneness. We started off the year with a commitment of further integrating our three divisions, cement, metal products, and building systems, as a unique building materials platform with a comprehensive product portfolio, leading brands, and extensive distribution network, aiming to be the preferred supplier for the construction industry that satisfies the needs of all of the main construction stages. Although Elementia has assembled its portfolio of businesses over time, we're now equipped to be, as one, the market supplier of choice in all stages of the building materials industry. A big transformational concept has been understanding that first and foremost anyone along the value chain can be an Elementia customer. After a year-long project in which we actually met face-to-face with nearly all of our customers to learn what they needed from us as a partner in order to be successful, we obtained a clear roadmap for what we needed to do in terms of product innovation and relationship management to further Elementia's competitive advantages. As a result, we are now truly a customer-oriented company with the knowledge and ability to supply innovative products, offer better service, and improve commercialization strategies. It gives me great satisfaction that in 2016, we established these communication bridges that have allowed us to be closer than ever to all of our clients and customers. The figures that we will discuss today reflect the alignment of all efforts to the one strategy, focusing on bringing together all the acquisitions, all the geographies, and all three divisions into one culture and one common goal, supported by centralized back-office services with strong financial discipline and a focus on profitability. In the fourth quarter 2016, Elementia maintained its growth trend, posting double-digit growth in both EBITDA and operating lines. These results were driven by the performance of the cement and metal products divisions. Nevertheless, it pleases me to say that in the fourth quarter 2016, we began to see an upturn in the building systems division. Going further in depth on each division's performance and main highlights for the quarter, I would like to start with the cement division. In the Mexican operations, we had another consecutive quarter of strong results. Revenues and EBITDA both rose by 29%, mainly due to a higher average sales price, the optimization of operating costs, and a sustained target installed capacity utilization rate. Furthermore, these results include Giant's operations as of November 2016. We believe this price trend may continue as demand remains strong, and although there have been government budget cuts, there are still some potential drivers that can drive demand, like the new airport project this year, the elections processes to be held in the second half of 2017 and in July 2018, and we still have the great demographic bonus and the focus in the self-construction segment, which has proven to be more resilient. Regarding the Tula project in Hidalgo, it remains on track both in budget and schedule. We expect that operation to start up by mid-2017 according to the original plan. So far, there have been no delays or incidents that would hamper the successful progress of this capacity expansion. As we mentioned in the past, following the completion of the project in 2017, we would have a total capacity of 3.5 million tons. In order to capture market in advance, we have already started grinding clinker so that by the time the new line is ready, the facility will be partially allocated. Going to the recently acquired business in the USA last November, Giant became the U.S. operations for Elementia Cement Division. We took a major step in the next phase of growth for Elementia by entering the U.S. cement market with this acquisition, which positioned Elementia as the fourth largest cement player in the East Coast in terms of installed capacity. Upon successful completion of our capital raising and acquisition, we moved on to the next phase. We began the integration and implementation of the highly detailed value-generating roadmap that we obtained from the full potential analysis developed along with Bain & Company. The first critical step was to reinitiate Giant's maintenance program, which had been put on hold for financial constraints, and bring the facilities back up to par. Currently, Giant is operating independently, with the support of Elementia in some key areas where it needs it. At the same time, we are developing synergy opportunities with Allura in terms of commercialization, logistics, and back office. First, we will open the portfolio product offered to our Allura clients by incorporating other quality products like the ones Giant has to offer. Second, we will take advantage of Giant's already installed warehouses to create new distribution channels and therefore reach new markets. And third, a potential vertical integration with our building systems operations in the U.S. by supplying cement. We will start to see the beneficial effects of these initiatives around mid-2017, with the full effects coming online next year. We have received several questions on Giant's acquisition, so I'd like to expand on the transaction and its rationale. Regarding the transaction, Giant had a heavy financial burden due to a credit facility which was a convert. This means that the lender had Giant shares as a guarantee. In order to execute this transaction, this facility had to be terminated. According to the shareholders' agreement, the way this facility was fully prepaid was: Elementia, using its committed credit lines, gave Giant a loan for $305 million, which was used to execute the first prepayment of the convert. Elementia paid $220 million for the 55% and control of Giant, which was used to complete the payment of the convert. Once the convert was paid, the acquisition of Giant was executed, and this loan became an intercompany loan. About the rationale of the acquisition, I would like to emphasize that. First, since our IPO is that Elementia's focus of growth is in the cement division. It is where we've had the most success in recent years, and we want to capitalize on the momentum we generated. We have also indicated that we want to grow in the countries which we are already present, particularly in the U.S. Second, this acquisition gives us entry and a starting point into one of the largest markets in the world through a large enough scale. Third, this acquisition comes in perfect timing given the market expectations for the U.S. and we are already there. Fourth, in terms of required capital, the acquisition represents a very attractive opportunity in terms of dollar per ton. The transaction is valued at $250 per ton, while a greenfield is closer to $400 per ton. Fifth, because the financial burden that Giant had, there were cash flow constraints that limited the Giant operations, causing reliability and quality issues. Because of this, the capacity utilization rate and pricing was lower than the industry's average. Along with the due diligence we executed, a full potential project that helped us define a very detailed roadmap that will enable us to increase both capacity utilization rate as well as pricing were lower than the industry's average. Along with the due diligence, and finally, Elementia has a track record of integrating and turning around constrained companies. Moving on, the Metal Products division, which registered a 39% increase in EBITDA per ton, and revenues were up 5% thanks to our strategic focus on higher value-added products and cost-cutting initiatives that helped improve metal yields. We continue our copper hedging strategy of 2,000 tons per month, which has helped mitigate copper price fluctuations. Our strategy for this division in 2017 is to innovate with new value-added products while expanding volumes on fittings and air conditioning. Second, taking advantage of our strong brand and distribution channels, we focus on commercializing products under the Nacobre brand, increasing the product portfolio with minimal investment required. And last, implement additional cost reduction initiatives to further improve our EBITDA per ton ratio. Turning finally to the Building Systems division, I am very pleased to report that for the first time in recent quarters, we reported double-digit growth in both EBITDA and sales. In the fourth quarter of 2016, we registered a 24% increase in revenues and a 19% increase in EBITDA, driven largely by a strong performance in the U.S. There are several initiatives underway to further drive this turnaround. For starters, we have set a special focus on innovation, which is leading the launch of new products with new technologies that has already shown good acceptance from our customers, given that it has advantages in several characteristics like handling, appearance, and design. In the U.S., which is a priority market for us, we have entered new segments such as repair and remodeling and modular building. Likewise, we have been very successful in the implementation of the go-to-market strategy developed along with BCG last year. In particular, capturing big builders as new customers. And now, our capacity utilization rate is at the point where we want it in order to start the process of reopening our Indiana facility. For this, we have set the first quarter 2018 as our target. In order to achieve this goal, we have already released the required capex for the startup and started the implementation of the strategy to penetrate the market. In Mexico, we have implemented the go-to-market strategy also developed along with BCG, and that is focused on strategic distributors that will give us wider geographic coverage in both roofing and water solutions. Last but not least, the performance of both Central America and Andean region operations was according to our expectations, showing year-over-year growth, mainly driven by the results of the automatization process and other investments we have recently concluded. At a corporate level, we continue aligning the organization according to our long-term vision, and we have focused in three main venues: innovation, corporate governance, and capital allocation. Let me elaborate on each one of them. Innovation. Following our mission of making the difference in the construction world, we are already thinking and working on how this industry will look like in the future. We are convinced that there is a lot to be done. As many of you probably know, the construction industry is plagued with waste and inefficiency. While innovation drives everything nowadays, the construction industry is actually technology averse. We want to take all the learning we've developed from sectors such as manufacturing, which are driven by a culture of innovation, and bring them in to adapt the construction space, and by doing so, we also aim to revolutionize the light building industry in Latin America. To this end, we have created an innovation department and hired a new head to focus on formalizing a culture of innovation who will guide the efforts to implement into our services and products. Without a doubt, this department will be a key driver for Elementia to understand our customer needs and become the leaders in solutions for the construction industry. This year, we will invest more than 1% of our net revenues for this purpose. We're working on strategic alliances with public and private research organizations such as 3M and others in order to improve our innovation ecosystem. For 2018, we expect to improve the portion of our sales coming from new solutions and products. Regarding corporate governance, we are evolving in terms of internal controls. During the fourth quarter 2016, we started a project that will enable the company to have a faster and broader visibility in all transactions. We will go live with this project by the end of first quarter 2017. We are diligently working in what we call Elementia 2.0, aiming to become a company that at the same time continues its growth strategy while remaining agile in terms of decision making and easily adapting to change since our environment is constantly evolving. Also, we have consolidated the management team by including Laura Cañas Olvera as the head of strategic planning and Laura Puig Grajales as the head of innovation. We are also working on developing the corporate culture, which summarizes in making things happen. The main drivers of this cultural change are accountability for performance, collaboration, growth mindset, high sense of purpose, and employee engagement. At Elementia, we are convinced that culture drives results. Last but not least, capital allocation, where we will focus on all businesses' decisions, but most of all, in new CapEx requirements. Every new CapEx has to comply with two main drivers, a strategic fit and financial fit. For the financial fit, every project has to have a positive NPV, a reasonable IRR, and a ROIC above the company's WACC. Some examples of this capital allocation focus are the expansion we have been doing in the building systems divisions, such as we have doubled our rotating molding operations in Colombia with a CapEx of $2.4 million and started operations in Central America investing $1.5 million. All these projects have amazing ROICs. It's noteworthy that the ramp-up process has exceeded our expectations. All these operations are already getting close to the full capacity utilization. Another example could be the plastic roofing operations in Colombia, which required a $4 million investment, and we are about to conclude the expansion project in Peru for what we invested $19 million. These projects also have very attractive ROICs. The demand for these products is very strong and has the benefit of running fully in recycled materials. Both projects have been supported by the strong brand recognition and distribution channels that we have developed through time in all the countries where we operate. Now, turning now to the outlook for 2017, although there has been a lot of noise post-November U.S. presidential elections, we remain optimistic on the significance and strength of the sectors we serve. Moreover, our presence in the U.S. will serve as a buffer for changes in policy and balance our geographic risks. We will continue deploying our giant integration plan to extract the benefits of this important transaction. Our M&A strategy going forward will focus on strengthening market position across all our business divisions, giving preference to the countries where we already have operations. Finally, we will continue to take the steps necessary to fully execute our Power of Oneness strategy. I will turn now the call over to Juan Francisco Sánchez Kramer for a further detail of our financial. Juan Francisco, please go ahead.
Thank you, Fernando, and thank you all for being here with us today. Now, I would like to give a brief summary of the profit and losses statement. Please note that all the figures I will give today are in Mexican pesos, unless I indicate otherwise. In the fourth quarter 2016, Elementia's consolidated revenues reached 36% year-over-year increase, reaching 5.45 billion, and increased 12% to reach 1909 billion for 12-month 16, reflecting the sales price increase in all divisions and the addition of Giant's revenues as of November 2016. Excluding Cement USA, which reported 717 million, this line item grew by 18% in the fourth quarter and 8% during the 12 months of 2016. Consolidated revenues are broken down by region as follows: 48% from Mexico, 29% in the U.S., 16% in South America, 5% in Central America, and the remaining 2% in other countries. The balance has begun to change, and considering Giant acquisition in the U.S. and the cement capacity expansion in Mexico, it will further incline to the U.S. and Mexico in the following quarters. Accumulated EBITDA rose 20%, reaching $3.59 billion in 2016, with an EBITDA margin of 18%, up by 1% point when compared to 2015. For the fourth quarter 16, EBITDA increased 48% year-over-year, reaching 986 million. In terms of divisions, for the full year 2016, cement represented 41% of EBITDA, metal products 32%, and building systems 27%. Again, given the ongoing projects in the cement division for both Mexico and the U.S., it will become more relevant in the near future. In addition, operating income grew 75% in the fourth quarter 16 and 27% for the 12 months of the year. Excluding Cement USA, this line item grew by 57% in the fourth quarter and 24% in the full year. Let me go into further detail in the performance of each division. The Mexican operations for the cement division reported revenues of 845 million for the quarter, 29% above the same period of 2015, and 3.08 billion for the 12 months of 2016, or 30% higher than 2015. This is in line with expectations. The division's revenues benefited from higher average sales price, a greater utilization of installed capacity, and operating efficiencies. which offset the increase in energy costs for both electricity and fuels. Additionally, EBITDA for the fourth quarter 16 was $331 million, up 29% year-over-year. For the 12 months of 16, EBITDA reached $1.3 billion, which is 39% higher than the same period of 2015. Last quarter margins showed a lower level in comparison with the third quarter, mainly due to energy costs and expenses related to Giant acquisition. Moreover, we are closely monitoring fuel prices as they have an important influence on energy costs. Now, for the U.S. operations of the cement division, as we've informed, on November 16, we successfully completed the acquisition of the 55% stake and full control of Giant. That is why, as of the date, we started to include Giant's results into Elementia's operating results. In the fourth quarter 16, this segment reported net sales of $717 million and EBITDA of $169 million. On a pro forma basis, and excluding non-recurring items corresponding to our recovered insurance policy recorded on December 2015, the results of the U.S. operations for November and December reported 4% growth in sales and 83% in EBITDA, mainly due to higher sales volume because of the better weather conditions. On to the next division, the management focus for the metal products division, as we have mentioned before, is the generation of EBITDA per ton as revenue prices are affected by the international reference pricing. The international reference pricing of copper increased 11% quarter over quarter, which helped offset the decrease in export volumes and generic products. Net sales, however, were 5% lower than the fourth quarter 15, reaching $1.69 billion in the fourth quarter 16. It is important to highlight that this division reported galvanized steel ships revenues during 2015, which involved a lot of volume with lower margin given that this is a distribution operation. However, in 2016, these sales were reported under the building system division. Therefore, excluding this fact, volume decrease was 5% lesser for the full year 2016 when compared to 2015. Moreover, this division also reported EBITDA growth of 39% quarterly and 20% for the 12 months of 2016, reaching $262 million and $1.16 billion respectively, mainly driven by the various cost-cutting initiatives in place. The Building System Division reported revenues of $2.08 billion in the fourth quarter 16, which represented an increase of 24% year-over-year, and $7.7 billion, or 12% increase for the 12 months of 2016. This division upturn was due to the extraordinary performance of the U.S., where weather conditions were favorable. That, in addition to the good performance in Central America due to the automatization project and the good performance in the Andean region, helped offset the low performance in Mexico. In terms of EBITDA, this division registered $221 million, or 19% higher than the fourth quarter 15. It is important to highlight that results for this division are strongly related to higher volume sold with better pricing, as well as the right-sizing efforts and strategic refocus of the operations in Mexico, as well as the continuity of the strategy driven from the full potential project in the U.S. In summary, the fourth quarter 16 is the beginning of the recovery of the division. We see a positive trend from now on. Between the fourth quarter and 16 and first quarter 17, several projects are being completed, and they have all complied with the capital allocation focus we've implemented. Those projects have already been described by Fernando, along with the development and launching of new fiber cement projects for the operations in all regions. Moving on to cost and expenses, consolidated cost of goods sold for fourth quarter 16 increased 30% to 3.81 billion, while revenues increased 36%. The cost optimization was mainly due to operating and energy efficiency initiatives, as well as higher sales volume, which delivered cost reduction mainly in cement and metal divisions. The 40% increase in SG&A resulted mainly from expenses related to the acquisition of Giant, including due diligence and full potential roadmap, and expenses related to the capital increase. It is also important to mention that, as stated in our IPO prospectus, 2015 figures were reduced from the bargain price gain from the acquisition of the fiber cement assets in the U.S. In addition, SG&A for the building system is higher than the other two divisions in terms of percentage of revenues, and revenues for the division grew 12% in 2016. In terms of consolidated EBITDA, the company reached 986 million in the fourth quarter, up 48% compared to the 665 million reported in the same period of 2015. In terms of EBITDA by division, the balance continued its trend to a higher cement division contribution, which represented 42%, metal products 32%, and building systems 26%. Lastly, Elementia reported a net income of 686 million for 12 months 16, an increase of 674 million compared to the last year 12 million. This growth was mainly due to improvements in operating income and reduction on the financial cost derived from the adopted hedging strategies. Turning now to the balance sheet. During the quarter, Elementia's balance sheet showed significant changes, increasing 70% the value of total assets resulting from Giant acquisition. Its full consolidation generated a goodwill of close to 320 million, which confirms that the acquisition was made at a fair market value, since it represents less than 2% of Giant asset value. The main effects of Giant consolidation are reflected in working capital, property, plant and equipment, intangible assets, and shareholders' equity. To that end, cash and cash equivalents reached 3.91 billion, an increase of 26% compared to 2015, mainly due to a higher EBITDA generation, working capital improvements, and credit lines that were used during the year. Elementia's debt position, which totaled 17.8 billion, increased mainly due to the impact of the Mexican peso versus the US dollar exchange on the dollar denominated debt. Second, the usage of Elementia's committed credit lines to grant Giant a loan so it would prepay its previous debts. And third, from the usage of most of ECA's credit line to fund expansion of the cement facility capacity. In line with the company's strategy of keeping a solid and flexible balance sheet, net debt to EBITDA ratio was 2.17 times, and interest coverage was 4.37 times, both in line with the covenants set by the financial institutions. In terms of our CapEx for the period, we spent 3.97 billion in the 12 months of 2016, excluding Giant's acquisition. For the full year 2016, total CapEx is broken down as follows: 4.18 billion pesos, or 51%, for the acquisition of Giant; 2.61 billion, or 32%, for the cement expansion; and $1.36 billion, or 17%, for maintenance and bolt-on expansions. Before I conclude my remarks, I would like to highlight a couple of key measures that went on during the quarter that helped strengthen the company's financial position and discipline. First, in preparation for the capital increase, the company updated the theoretical value of the shares to 6.3553 pesos per share, corresponding to the nominal value of the capital stock. Considering that at the time of the IPO, the share's final value was unknown, the update to the theoretical value was done at the shareholders' meeting held on October 17, 2016. Second, Elementia used part of its committed credit lines totaling $5.6 billion, which included a revolving portion of $2.96 billion, and another $2.64 billion with a maturity profile of 25% in 2018, 35% in 2019, and the remaining 40% in 2020. And third, considering that Giant's loan was granted in dollars, and due to the fact that in early November 2016, it was expected that the peso would strengthen against the dollar, the company hedged the credit facility in order to swap them into dollars, and thus ensuring that the dollar received from Giants as payment will be enough to pay off the debt with the banks. We believe that 2017 comes along with a great growth opportunities, and we will do our best to successfully execute the company's capital allocation strategy. In addition, this year we want to carry out our planning divestment of idle assets, instill greater expenses control, and optimize the company's portfolio of clients and improve the value chain process and thus working capital. With this, I conclude my presentation. Thank you for your attention, and I'm going to turn the call back to the operation for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we would like to open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. Our first question will come from Juan Tavares, Citi.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, everyone. My first question is about your U.S. Cement business. Could you give us an update there on what are your utilization rates today? And you mentioned that when you first got the asset, the pricing was below the industry average. Where do you stand on pricing now on that asset? And maybe some context of the potential maintenance CapEx cycle and restructuring costs still to happen at Giant Cement. Maybe connected maybe to your total 2017 CapEx outlook. How much of your 2017 CapEx expectations will be dedicated towards Giant Cement? Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Juan, for your question. So regarding the utilization rate, I can tell you more or less 10% lower than the average industry in the U.S. Likewise, I can say price-wise, we are more or less the same, 10% down the average industry. And last but not least, regarding the CapEx, we will need to invest in the next 3 years more or less $90 million. So for this year, for the first stage, that is basically bringing the asset back to today's standards, the required CapEx is around $30 million, and as we speak, we are already spending that amount. And for the following 2 years, or two stages, the required CapEx would be less than $60 million. I don't know if I answered your questions.
Is that for the total Elementia, or just for Giant Cement?
Just for Giant Cement. On top of that, Juan, hello, we will remain with let's say organic capex for the company, which has been around $50 million. It might go up to some $60 million, which includes mainly maintenance and bolt-on expansion. And we have some $10 million
pending from the capacity expansion in Mexico.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Juan.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Hernan Kismet, MetLife.
Hello. Thank you for taking my questions, and congratulations on the excellent results. My question is regarding the loan that you provided to Giant, and in the report you said that Uniland has provided a guarantee for the loan with a pledge of its shares. So I wonder here, what are your expectations now about this loan, if you think that it's going to be repaid in 1 year, or maybe extended, or maybe execute the guarantee. So just wondering, what are you thinking about it today?
Sure. Thank you, Hernan, for your question. Let me go probably a step back. As you probably know, Giant has a convert that has to be terminated in order to complete the transaction. So as we mentioned, the way that we terminated that loan was through first a loan to buy the 55% shares of Giant. So this loan was given to Giant from Elementia, and it became an intercompany loan. Since Elementia has 55% of Giant and Uniland has the remaining 25%, both are committed to this credit line. But there is no specific guarantee given by Uniland. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I thought there was a guarantee. Maybe I misunderstood what was written in that report, that saying that there was a pledge of Uniland's shares in Giant, but maybe I got it wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the guarantee is the one that both shareholders, Elementia and Uniland, is given for this loan, but there is no shares involved or whatsoever.
Ah, okay, perfect. Thank you very much for the clarification.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Cecilia Jimenez, Santander.
Yes, hi guys, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I have a few questions actually on the U.S. operations. If you could give us some color regarding, you already mentioned prices, so volumes. The average cement volumes for the state of Giant, where they have footprint, fall 22% on December. So if you can give us some color of what you have seen so far and what you are expecting for this year. Thanks.
Sure, thank you, Ceci. I mean, it will be very naive to say that we have already done significant changes in the Giant's operation. We have already begun to implement what we call the 100 days integration plan. So it is ongoing and it is performing according to our expectations. So we are happy about that. Now, in terms of the operations, as Fernando mentioned, we have begun to deploy the capex required to bring the assets back to par and thus be able to recapture lost market share and lost pricing power. But that is only beginning. There was an important benefit that we had in this fourth quarter 16, and it is that the weather has been very mild. It has allowed us to fully operate the facilities. Even during January was the same case. So the expectation is that we will capture the expected value, additional value from Giant during 2017-18 mainly.
Okay, but just maybe if you can be more specific regarding volume perspective. For instance, we have the PCA with a 3% forecast for the entire country for this year, and CEMEX guided on the U.S. side a volume growth from 0 to 3, 0 to 3%. So my question is, do you expect to be around that neighborhood, or do you actually expect to be targeting a mid to high single digit in volume growth this year? And also, since you mentioned the good figure for the report, just if we can see a stabilization margin on the EBITDA side, should we expect mid-teens, low-teens in terms of EBITDA margin for the entire year once you take out seasonality? Thanks.
Thank you, Ceci. Regarding your first part of the question, the expected demand growth for the East Coast in general is around 4 to 5% for this year and the following 4 years. So we are aiming around that. On top of that, the market share that these operations have is around 9%, but it used to have about 12% in the region. So we are aiming to regain that 12% in the short term. This will move along as we complete the maintenance projects, etc., that will take some time. At least the first month of 2017 will be, the execution of the project, and we will have additional capacity or the standard capacity available for the second half of the year. So we are aiming to grow along with the market trend for the first half, and starting in the second half, we aim to grow faster.
And maybe a last question, if I may, regarding the building system material, division, sorry. You posted a very good year-on-year result, but you're coming from a pretty weak base. So I think it's good, but it looks better than it actually could be. Because on a Q-on-Q basis, you're posting a 1% EBITDA drop. So my question is, what's the target or the forecast for 2017, particularly regarding Mexico operation and its turnaround? I'm not sure if the turnaround only comes from the U.S. side or also in the Mexican side, particularly on the volumes. If you could give us some color there. Thanks.
So first of all, we believe that the third quarter was the bottom for the division in terms of EBITDA generation. The fourth quarter already showed an improvement, as you mentioned, small but improving. The expectation for 2017 is very positive, since, as we mentioned, we completed the project for expanding capacity in rotating molding for water tanks in Central America, the Andean region, and also plastic roofing operations for the Andean region. On top of that, we are ongoing the execution of the full potential or go-to-market study that we did for the Mexican operation. We are very positive on the potential that we see also. And in the U.S., again, the expectations is a growing market. We have already capacity utilization that enable us to begin the reopening of the IGO facility in Indiana, which we are targeting for early next year. So the CapEx and the cash flow has already begun. Engineering is completed. It is ongoing. So we are very positive on the outlook for the building system division along 2017. We are beginning to harvest investments that we did during 2016, and we will continue to harvest those in 2018.
Okay, thanks. I do have one last question. I promise this is the last one, and it's regarding cement in Mexico, pricing particularly. So you will have the ramp-up of the expansion plant during this year. My question is, regarding pricing, do you think it's reasonable to expect somewhere between, let's say, 7 to 10% price increase considering the new capacity coming to the market? Or do you think that's too optimistic? And this is coming from a year where we had like plus 18% for the market. So I don't know if you see that as possible, as feasible, or you're expecting somewhere a lower pricing due to the incoming capacity. Thanks.
Thank you, Ceci, for your question. It's a tough question. What I can tell you is, we see it reachable. You have to bear in mind that many of the investments in this industry are dollar-based. So in order to fund them, prices have to increase. Likewise, costs have increased in the recent months in the pet coke, in the energy, so on and so forth. So I truly believe that the price trend might continue. Likewise, the demand, I think it will remain as strong. The drivers that we commented a minute ago regarding the lack of government projects will be mitigated by the new airport and the election processes. And likewise, and the most important of all is the great demographic bonus that we still have in Mexico, no? Likewise, you have to bear in mind that we are focused on the do-it-yourself construction, and we believe that this channel will continue growing. So I think answering the question that your forecast is accurate.
You have to bear in mind also that considering the additional capacity that is put on the market or that will be put on the market, nobody is thinking on allocating all the volume from day one. It means that it will have a ramp up time frame, and thus it is, even though it might sound like a lot, it is not as disruptive as it sounds.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next question will come from Pablo Recalding, Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I have two questions. I was wondering if you could provide a breakdown between market share gains and category growth related to the performance of the U.S. in the building system divisions. And my second question is regarding potential synergies between Alura and Giant Cement. I don't know if you could provide a guidance on how much are you expecting to achieve and when.
Hello, Pablo. Thank you for your question. On your first question, what I can tell you is we are growing faster than the market, and because of that, we have already reached a very tight capacity utilization rate, and because of that, we have already begun with the project for reopening the Indiana facility. The pricing trend is also positive in the U.S., so it is a combination of volume, pricing, and gaining some pieces of market share. Can you repeat your second question, please?
Yes, my second question is on potential synergies between Alura and Giant Cement. I don't know if you have already assessed how much it could reach in terms of potential synergies, and when do you expect to achieve them?
Well, Pablo, we just closed the acquisition a couple of months ago, so we are still learning a lot about this operation. What I can tell you is that we have found that there are many potential synergies, but I don't want to misguide you or give you a figure that that we are still evaluating. What I can tell you, there is a lot of synergies, and there are very good things to come.
Okay, and one last question, if I may. Regarding working capital, we saw a positive contribution on 2016. I don't know if you're expecting something similar for 2017, or what would we expect in terms of working capital?
Sure, there was a positive change in working capital, as you mentioned, in 2016. we have already set some very specific outlines in that regard for the full company. But also you have to bear in mind that we are increasing volumes, we are increasing revenues, so we are more focused on per day analysis than value analysis, that at the end will result on cash flow generation from working capital. So in summary, yes, you can expect the same trend in 2017, excluding the additional volume and additional revenues.
Okay, perfect.
And Pablo, maybe expanding on your previous question regarding the synergies, I can also tell you about the synergies not only with Alura, but also synergies with Elementia and other synergies we saw before making this acquisition. So, firstly, the optimal balance or currency profile shifting into a more dollar denominated one, so that's one that we like a lot. Also, there could be a vertical integration between this new acquisition and our Alura operation, that's regarding the cement consumption. And likewise, there are some interesting cost-cutting initiatives that can be done in Mexico by implementing the know-how in the use of alternative fuels, where we are very, very strong in Giant. So those are also other synergies that we saw when we were making this due diligence.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Nicholas Lippmann, Morgan Stanley.
Good morning, and thank you for the call and for taking my question. Congrats on the numbers. Just a couple of very quick questions. Sorry if they were already asked or addressed. I just joined the call a bit late. In terms of the margin differential between on the cement in Mexico from from the first to the fourth quarter, can you talk a little bit about what's going on there? Is there a cost? Your margin was fantastic in the first quarter, and it sort of normalizes here. If you could address that, and then second on distribution. As you open up new capacity in Mexico, should we think about this as you will continue with the bag strategy, or will you be looking more towards sort of selling more in bulk and maybe growing that with together with a ready-mix business? And finally, sorry for these questions, similar questions for the U.S. How should we think about ready-mix for that business going forward? Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Nicolai. Let me try to address all the questions. So, first of all, margin for the fourth quarter in the Mexican operations. The margin was mainly affected, as you mentioned, the third quarter margin was spectacular. In the fourth quarter, the margin was reduced mainly because of energy costs, both in electricity and petcoke, and also the expenses related to the acquisition of Giant that includes due diligence, the full potential study, also the capital expenses, et cetera, et cetera. So we have several non-recurrent expenses in the fourth quarter. Now, going into 2017, as we mentioned and as you well put it, We are ramping up, or we will be ramping up the new capacity by mid-2017. But in order to prepare the market, we are beginning with the grinding of clinker since the first quarter, and this operation has lesser margins. So the brief question answer, sorry, will be that our margins for 2017 will be lower than what it was in the third quarter 16, probably going down another 4% or percentage points as we get closer to the start-up of the clinker production, and that is mainly due to absorption of fixed costs. To the next question, as you mentioned, we are mainly focused on bags. More than 70% of the volume sold in 2016 was in bags. Moving on to the capacity expansion, It is likely that this balance changed a little. We will might sell more bulk in 2017 in order to allocate faster the volume. And that is also has to do with the third part of your question, that is ready mix. We are increasing the operation of ready mix in Mexico. We currently have a couple of plants for ready mix, and we will add some 3 to 4 more during 2017. On the same trend for the U.S., the margin in the U.S. for the first quarter is usually the worst because of winter. So we are moving along with that seasonality. In the U.S., the balance between bulk and bags is quite different. Usually it is about 5% in bags and the rest is in bulk. And about ready mix operations, the operations in the U.S. don't have ready mix. Our main customers are ready mix producers, and that is one of the advantages in terms of relationship with our customers. So we plan to keep it that way, at least for the short to medium term.
Thank you, Juan. This is super helpful. Just in terms, as a follow-up, if I may, in terms of the due diligence, merger-related or transaction-related costs, could you quantify that just so we don't confuse it with an increase in the cash cost?
If I understand correctly, you are asking the amount of the due diligence and the full potential amount?
Yeah, if you would be able to share that so we don't make it into perpetuity.
Or
a part number. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Nicola.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Francisco Suarez, Scotiabank.
Hi, thank you for the call. Congrats on the numbers. My question relates with the cement division. It seems that the overall potential on your EBITDA margin is considerable, not only because of the one-offs that you mentioned, but also because of the limited integration that you have, considering that your Tula plant is basically sold out at the moment. So my question here is related with once that the new line is in operation and you are able to integrate your operations on with your own clinker production on that line, and whenever that the ramp up phase ends, I guess that it is fair to assume that this plant, the overall margins in Mexico, considering also the pricing, could be heading north of 45% or something like that once that you can reach decent utilization rates on Tula.
Yes, as you well put it, our margins have come down from very attractive close to 50% in the third quarter. And as I mentioned, they will remain in current levels or a little bit lower than that as we get closer or we start the ramp up of the clinker production. But once that the operation is in a steady level and we reach, let's say, reasonable capacity utilization, we expect to go back to north 40%. Again, once that the capacity utilization rate is back in order.
Understood. And just to be perfectly clear here, on your pricing strategy, I guess that because of what you mentioned, because of the increased costs in energy inputs and, of course, that are U.S. dollar denominated, I think it is fair to say that if it takes longer to take this ramp up, that would be the reasonable thing to do, isn't it? In other words, would you be ranking more or lending more towards trying to get to the most to the least discounts possible compared to the prices of the leader of your markets? It's going to be pricing the priority or volume? in other words?
Sure, certainly. I will like to make a step back on the strategy for pricing. As you remember, we position the brand, the product, as premium quality, and therefore we are, in terms of pricing, in the highest quartile in all regions that we play. So the strategy remains the same. We will continue in the top quartile of pricing, but also you have to bear in mind that given our capacity or market share, we do not set the pricing. We certainly follow price increase. We believe that the market needs to recover value that was lost from 2010 through 2013. And given the currency fluctuations that we have seen, the pricing in Mexico is one of the lowest in all the Americas. So it all indicates that pricing should continue its trend, and we are happy to do that. We will, continue with the same strategy.
Okay. And lastly, on your building systems division, just to make sure that I understood correctly, do you think that you may be able to open the Indiana plant by the beginning of next year? Is that correct?
That is correct. That's the plan. We are already making the necessary investments in order to comply that date. So we feel pretty confident. Our U.S. Based plant are already running at a very, very attractive capacity. So we feel confident that we will reopen this plant in the time frame that we mentioned.
Great. Thank you and congrats again.
Thank you. Thank you, Francisco.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Luis De La Torre, Morgan Stanley.
Hi, Fernando and Juan Francisco. Congratulations on the results. I just have a couple of questions regarding the fiber cement business. I mean, in the U.S., it's very encouraging to see that you're taking market share. So I was thinking if you could just explain a little bit about the strategy here and what kind of clients you're approaching, if it's repair and remodel or if it's the new home builders. And then in LATAM, I mean, if I look at the aggregate of the LATAM fiber cement business and plastics, it doesn't look like it grew a lot in 2016. So I was wondering if you could speak about the strategy here and whether you plan to invest a lot more capital into these businesses. Is this still a priority for you? Thank you.
Right. So, Laura, you want to comment?
Yeah, well, in the U.S., as Fernando mentioned, we did a full potential study. So we're targeting big builders and getting some share from these big builders, as well as entering new segments like repair and remodeling. So those are our main targets in the U.S.
Okay, let me expand on that. The good news here is that, we've been able to enter with the big builders, which basically no one wanted to be the guinea pig. So we've been able already to convert some of them, and I think we're on the right track. So we are starting to see what we planted in the past few months, so we are harvesting that. Now, regarding LATAM, we are heavily working in the lightweight building systems. As I mentioned before, the construction cannot keep the way it's being done in Latin America. We are still building as the Egyptians did 2,000 or 5,000 years ago. So there's a lot to be done. So we are working on solutions, and in very, very interesting solutions for the near future. So that's where we're targeting in our innovation department. We hopefully are coming with very interesting solutions in the next coming months. No, so we see a tremendous opportunity there.
Okay, thanks.
I don't know if that answers your question, Luis.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this time, we have no further questions. I would now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Fernando Ruiz for closing remarks.
So thank you, operator. And looking ahead in 2017, we continue to see exciting opportunities to invest for the future and to do even more for our customers and shareholders through our continued support of the essential components of the construction value chain. And for that, we will remain committed to our vision, our markets, and our clients by fulfilling our promises in a systematic way, and we'll always be innovative and one step ahead in terms of offering unique products, improved services, and better commercialization strategies. And we will continue to play a key role in times of change by not only rapidly adapting in a fast-evolving environment, but also by being a leader that promotes change. So once again, thank you all for your interest in Elementia, and have a nice rest of the day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this call is now concluded. You may disconnect your phone lines and have a great rest of the week. Thank you.